Welcome to the Duluth Rundown interview section. We are just about to get going with our next interview, but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is where you want to go to get anything running related, from gear to shoes to food, and of course, great advice from all the people that work up there. So check out Austin Jaro at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth, Minnesota. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
Okay, and we are ready now for our interview portion of the podcast, and we are joined with local runner.
I'll call myself local runner.
A name many of you probably know, and an individual that many of you probably know. Mr. Matt Evans. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thanks to be here. It's one of those things where I love Duluth so much that even though I've been gone longer than I lived here, I still consider Duluth my home, and I do own a house here. I just don't get to live in it with my wife. So.
If you pay taxes, you're local.
Right. There you go. I'm very much a Duluthian.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get started. And the first question that I want to ask, and the one that we obviously start with a lot, is how did you get started into running / endurance sports? How old were you? What year was that? Tell us about those early days.
When I start to think back, you know, you go back to junior high at Woodland Junior High. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. Well, everyone gets on the team, and I still remember getting my very first pair of shoes from the ski hut, which you know, just down the hill here.
Oh, they had shoes.
They had shoes, It was, I think they did this special where they said, "All right, we're going to have two kinds of shoes for boys and two kinds of shoes for girls."
Yeah.
And then you just come down on track night, and you get to buy one of those two pairs of shoes, and. It's one of those things where I started when I was, I think, in eighth grade. I have much, much better memories because my friend and I, Tim Andrew, he's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm really good." And we were in the 800, and there was 9 people on the eighth grade Woodland Junior High half mile team. And I was eighth best. So, I really schooled that one guy. and, you know, it was one of those things where I loved the fact that I wasn't going to get dropped. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I think about a lot today is what is the barrier for people getting into the sport? And not being good at it is a huge barrier that some people have that, that they don't feel like they're going to be welcomed. And I look back and I think how lucky I was to have, you know, the social studies professor, you know, Mr. Phillips yelling at me, but knowing that I wouldn't get dropped from the team. And from there, you know, you hang around, you do some work, and sometimes you get better. And, you know, that being able to enter in the sport with your friends and have that camaraderie, that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky today that I still have a lot of that. And, what I don't have, I like to cultivate.
Yeah. Nice.
Was that just everyone gets onto the track team, so that's what I'll do? Or were you trying out for all types of teams?
Oh, God. There are stories about me playing baseball where I think I chewed through my arm sleeve because every time I'd get up to bat, I would be so nervous. And I was horrible. And I think it's because I have one eye that just doesn't work that well, and so I can't see balls coming at my face, and
that's an issue in
I remember being at the Central Little League tryouts, and I went down for a grounder. It hit me in the face, and they immediately put me on Doherty Hardware, which was kind of the transformative team for players who didn't know what they were doing. And luckily they were short a coach, and my dad became the coach of a slightly better team with all my friends on it. And so I was traded for a ball that didn't have seams on it or something. So I was worthless. But, you know, it is one of those things where allowing yourself to grow into a sport. Mm-hmm. And I actually played a year after that, too, when my friends, they were going to have to forfeit games because they didn't have enough players. Mm. And so they wanted me on the team just so that they could play. Mm-hmm. And I don't I don't care. I feel like I had a value to that.
Yeah.
But it also makes it so that you have these friendships of people who just get together and work out,
right,
or do something fun or play games. And yeah, I think that's one of the strong memories that I have about sort of coming up through Duluth and sports. And,
yeah,
you know, then you grow up and go to high school,
yeah,
and things get a little more serious, but not that much.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And maybe not like they are today in some sports, you know.
Yeah.
You know, running is still pretty pure.
Yeah.
It's like either you're fast or you're not. And even if you're not fast, so what?
Still a no cut sport.
Right.
You know, exactly. Where I'm at, still everybody, if you're on, you want to be on the team, you're on the team as long as you show up to,
yeah,
practice.
And think about the transformation of those kids who feel like, oh, getting better is more important than just winning.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's one of the big things that I take as an educational person is you have to think not how many people win. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to an NMTC race and, ooh, there's 53 people there. 52 of them are losers,
yeah,
right? Or do you think, hey, there's 53, well, maybe 253. But then they're out there and they're having a blast.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be around that kind of energy of people just getting to do what they need to do to have a good life or to feel part of a group is really, I don't know, it I like being part of that.
And I think for so many of those kids that are doing it, whether junior high or maybe freshman, sophomore year, their assumption often is that if you don't win, then you're last or it's bad. And once they get over that, they see that, oh, I have value no matter where I am, kind of on the pecking order. They have so much more fun.
Yeah.
And they enjoy the sport more and their confidence actually grows. Hmm. And it just takes all that pressure off, and that's really important.
And, you know, just feeling value.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, value in friendships is just as critical as being good.
Yeah.
Especially at that age, because it's, you know, everyone's awkward and
you know,
I mean, of course I still think I'm a little awkward, you know. It's like, oh, there's a run going on down, you're meeting at Leif Erikson Park by the tower. Oh, great, I'll go down there, and you're awkwardly kind of like, hi, who are you? I'm here to run too.
You like, and it's running? Just, I like running.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Is that your pickup line, Mike? It could be.
Untested, but you know. Right.
All right. So since it is St. Patrick's Day, maybe we should go down and test that one out. I got some more dye. So
Nah. I'm busy.
I think that's one of those things where I really look forward to that next run with people or supporting other people doing big things.
Yeah.
And that's a transitional thing. I've done everything I needed to do. Yeah. And at this point, I don't need to prove to anyone that I'm good.
Right.
Or that I know my value at this point. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the really critical things that so many high school athletes or people who have been really good for a while, all of a sudden they're one injury away from losing their entire friend structure.
Yeah.
And I've worked very hard to make sure that I have life beyond my times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to shift your mentality, and or you shift the races that you're going to do, or, right, you know, it's like, you know, going fast in a triathlon that takes an hour is very different than, oh, I'm right, going to try to do the fastest known time on the Superior hiking trail.
Right.
That's just like, well, why do you make new goals? Why not? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's really fun.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. 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 We've talked about that a decent amount on the podcast about just that. What I kind of refer to is just that acceptance that your PR days are beyond, but that there's still things to strive for. And
right,
for me and the experience that I went through, and a lot of people do go through, that acceptance becomes freedom, mm-hmm, because it frees you up to pursue other things instead of kind of always living in the past.
Right. Or to gain 20 pounds during COVID and not beat yourself up as much as,
well, yeah, absolutely. Right?
And then, and that is, you know, I still struggle with that. And mm-hmm, it's one of those things where I'm still hopeful that I can maybe get down a little bit and maybe get out there and do good times for my age.
Yes.
But you know, as it is, I'm, as I like to say, I'm the second best physicist and third best runner in my family. And so there's a lot to look up to there. So
yeah.
You got a lot of positivity, though. You're the eighth best on the team,
right?
Third best in the family. I mean, you could frame that totally differently.
Right, exactly. And that's one of those things that I have a class that I teach, and it's a marathon class. You know, no offense to good coaches, but I am not a coach at all. I am a supporter of people figuring things out. And so that's me and a PT. And of course, you know, when you're training for a half marathon or marathon, it's like you're always getting some pain in, you know, they get access to that immediately. But what I do is I try to guide them through this idea that they can control so much of what's going to happen. And some of that is, oh, I have somebody who has a broken foot and is in a boot right now.
Yeah.
And they're taking a class. Do they drop the class or do they continue on and figure out what to do? And that's that, as a coach, you know, how are we going to change that goal? And I think one of my favorite, you know, I have people, if they ever want to talk in my class, they can. And I had a community member. We had, you know, probably 60 students and we have like 15 to 20 community members all in the same classroom.
Sure.
She comes in and she starts talking about the worst race she ever did. And she was like, it was cold and, you know, she just like, and there's a car right behind her picking up cones, right? She's the absolute last person. And she gets to the end and the only person there is her friend. And, you know, it's like tumbleweeds going through the parking lot, you know,
tearing down.
Like, right. Race. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And then she started talking about her best race ever where, you know, she couldn't believe it, but, you know, it was a little windy, but she kind of got, she overdressed. And so she handed somebody her jacket. They said, oh yeah, we'll bring it to the end for you. And, you know, they're cheering her on the whole way. And she gets done and she had PR'd.
Wow.
And not only had she PR'd, she got second place in her age group because she was an older woman doing a half marathon that no one else wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know,
it's windy. It's,
right. Exactly. And her friend was there.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's windy. I'm not going to go. Well, she said it was so great to have her friend there, you know, like you got second in your division. And, you know, her friend had grabbed the medal from the people at the end, you know, put it on her. And she said that was the best race of her life.
Wow.
Yeah.
And those were the same races.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Right.
And that was the story.
That was the story. Wow. Right. And that's and that's where you get the kids to sense that you control so much of how you interpret what went on.
Right.
And I think that's one of the great things about coaching or having a friend group.
Yeah.
You know, a friend group can really support you when you maybe you don't quite reach what you think you wanted to, but they can help you reframe that. And I really like that that idea because I have to do that now. like last year in grandma's as I was running, I was trying to calculate in my head, am I going to do twice my PR? Right? And so that's lots of mental math in the middle of a very long race. So I had plenty of time and I didn't, I didn't stoop that low this time, but you know, there's going to be many more that I'm going to eventually cross over that threshold and how I feel at that point. I hope I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
So
what do you think today?
Today,
would you be ready for it?
Oh God, no! I, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm thoughtful about how I approach the process of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And for the kids, I use this phrasing where it's you know how you have those A goals, and there's a B goal, and then there's a C goal, and I always think that that's failing down. Right? Oh, I'm not going to get my A goal today, but if I could just hang on, I might be able to do the B goal.
Yeah.
If I don't get the B goal, maybe I can just...
Yeah.
Instead, I go, I will, I want, I dream. And it's, I will do this during the race.
Yeah.
And what can I control? And then it's the, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know, what's kind of that? And that could be, I'm going to... something I can really control, which is, you know, you can still like, okay, I'm going to try to run the whole thing. And if you don't do that, you're still going to be okay because you controlled something about I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
Or, and then that dream is, what if you had the best day ever? What would it look like?
Are you sure?
And so you're actually striving up
right
from where your baseline of I'll be happy with this.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the winner of the Eau Claire Marathon, he was one of my students a long time ago, and he owns the running shop down there. He came into my class and talked about A, B, and C goals, and then I came in and I talked about this, you know, the I will, the I other want, way. I dream.
Yeah.
And after the race, he was behind like five minutes at 19 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And he had realized, I'm not going to win, but I will run with joy. Because his family is out there. He's getting to run in the place that he decided to raise his family, open his running shop.
Yeah.
And the person who was winning had gone out way, way, way too fast and was weeping on the side of the road.
Weeping?
Well, I don't know. I make that part up. But it's that, you know.
Struggling.
You're right. And you never know. Yeah. And that's, I'd love to hear him talk about his day, about how he thought through that.
I will not weep.
I will not weep. Right. And you could kind of control that, but even there, have you ever been at have you been at the end of a big race and just watch people
weeping on
right? And I love that, because that's the that huge emotional outlet for people who have worked very hard something, and they don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's this joyous occasion that, you know, if you're there at the 5.5 hour mark of a marathon, cause I worked the end of the Eau Claire Marathon, and it's wonderful to see people come in and really just believe in themselves and then accomplish something. And so
it's unbelievable to a lot of people. Like, I don't really even know if I can do this, you know?
Right. And then when they do it, it's transformative. And that's where, I like to have, I like seeing people try things that it doesn't matter whether they do it or not. Cause I'm sorry, no one cares how fast you used to be.
Right.
And it's like, but you get to own what you've done. And, you know, so if you try to put that accomplishment out there, how do you navigate to get to it? Mm-hmm. And how do you build on that? And when you do something really hard that you didn't believe you could do when you're 18 or 19 years old, you can actually parlay that into so many more things when you get older and life gets a lot harder.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the best parts about what I get to do right now.
Yeah.
And sport is just a beautiful thing to teach that.
Yeah.
Whatever the sport is, and we choose running and that kind of distance endurance sports, but really any sport will teach you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you're out there training for your, was it 100 mile or the gravel race?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, are you a competitor? Or are you a survivor and you're out there and you're struggling a little bit and some guy comes by and they need water, or you're passing them and they need water? You know, what do you do at that point? Do you make a beautiful race, or do you make yourself kind of that? Then this guy came by me and he was an ass. Do you want to be that guy in the story? Or do you want to be the person that, and then he gave me an extra Snickers bar, and you know, then you're the hero.
Right.
And you know, maybe no one will ever know that you were the hero, but that's, to me, that's the influences that we can have on just that whole sport. And that can happen in any sport, and
anything in life, you know. If a side of the road, you're just trying to get to work or something, you see someone thirsty on the side, I mean, yeah, but you know,
here have a beer.
I'm just on my way to work. Some stuck out to me, Matt. I'm curious what your response would be, because like I hear this from time to time, just like spitballing with people talking about races, you know, just side conversations. I'm sure you've heard this a lot too, you know. Oh yeah, you're doing grandma's or EC marathon or some event, you know, what are your goals? Do you have a goal? Oh, my goal is just to finish, you know. What's your response to that?
Based on who I work with, that is amazing.
Yeah.
I am so excited for you. I hope you get that goal. You know, how's the process going? And, you know, because that is a goal. And
of course.
You know, so have you done a marathon? You know, and so Tony, you know, tell me about your best marathon experience. And your experience and their experience are going to be very different.
Yeah.
So what was your best marathon?
Oh man, my best marathon experience. I don't know. I don't even think it would actually be my PR marathon experience. It would be a really hot one. in July in Iowa. I think we made it maybe hit 94 that day degrees, and I came in third, and I took a wrong turn and probably ran 27 miles. I ended up at a garage sale and had to turn around in a cul-de-sac because I should have gone left when I went right. Geez. And so I ran a little farther than those guys, but they were ahead of me. I could spot them in the last few miles, but I couldn't catch them. But anyway, that's probably my best marathon experience.
And that's, you didn't tell me anything about your time at that point. Now, I wasn't looking for that, but when I think about the people who are, oh, I just want to finish, when they get done, they're not going to go, oh, and then I went out in a 9:27.
Exactly.
And then that second mile, I really dialed it down to 9:10.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Mile three.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Oh, you want to know mile three? Let me get that for you.
Yeah.
But that's where everyone gets to control their story, and your story is great. Why? Because it's like, oh, then I was at the garage sale. Well, they had this they had this popcorn popper, and I was really kind of like, but you get to make those stories up, and you get to control that. And in fact, my PR story isn't about the PR itself. It's about my my bastard brothers who left me. It was like right there by about 40th Avenue East. I was running out of my mind, and they're both with me. And all I remember is I had this head rush, whoosh, and I gotta stop. I walked 100 yards, and by that time they were 400 yards ahead of me,
because
they were flying. And it was just like, then I start running, and I'm catching them, and I'm catching them, and I just, there it is. You know, that's a long way. That's like, that's still, you know, 5 miles to go. And I kept inching closer, and I did not catch them. But this is back when they had the, when you had to go into the chutes. And I was like the next person in line. I was only maybe 15 seconds behind them, but it was like, hey, why didn't you wait up for me? You know, I was just there. And so but that's kind of like, that's what I remember from that race. Not so much, you know, that feeling of time, but more, I got to run with both my brothers for miles. And that's, that's more the thing that I care about at this point.
So back to eighth grade, you were on the track team, eighth best. You know, up there. Did you like running? I mean, was this a spark? Like, this is going to be my identity? How did you progress from there, I guess?
It's sort of the, you know, the origin story. I'm a superhero, by the way. So what happened was, I was also a swimmer, and so Tim Andrew, who I mentioned earlier, he was the person who convinced me to also swim on the YMCA team, because I was decent, and he kind of taught me how to swim. And I still remember him teaching me, you know, how to do a breaststroke turn.
Yeah,
you know, and with swimming, it was so good for my aerobic ability.
Right.
And when we got to ninth grade, which is still junior high, he thought he was going to be the star, because he was like the second best half miler, and I was eighth. And so in ninth grade, I beat him. Ooh. And I beat him and everyone else. And really, I came into being at that point where I realized I could be good at this.
Okay.
And what I liked is that I don't think I ever lost sight that it was a team sport, or that it was something that I could share with other people.
Right.
Fast forward a few more years, I was the captain at Central under Kerry Laux, and Kerry was he was just so instrumental in making it fun. And I think one of the big things there was, you know, we'd play pom-pom pull away, you know, as one of our workouts. And you know, that's a it's like, we get to play games, we get to work hard. And we increased the size of the team so much that it was him. He was the only coach at that time, and there was 50 people on the team, both girls and boys. He would just take, you know, the top eight and go, all right, you just go take off, go do the workout, you know what you're doing. But it's like the memory of one of the kids who came out, and his dad had promised him a letter jacket if he lettered. Well, how do you letter in high school? You're either good or really consistent. And if you were a senior who showed up at every practice without fail. No excuses for anything.
Yeah.
You got to letter.
Really, huh?
So he got a letter.
Regardless of your speed.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. And that's where you're part of a team if you are always there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember all the details, but I think it was something to the effect that his dad said that, well, he didn't really letter.
What?
Right? It's like, well, no, what I meant was I didn't think that you would ever be good enough to letter.
Oh, gosh.
Right? Right. And what we know is, as people who've been around long enough, is that it's really critical to have that feeling that comes with running for your team.
Right.
You know,
right.
Even if it's a 3-person team that you got, you know, matching singlets and you went to some weird race and, you know, but that's part of it is you feel part of your community.
Yeah.
You know, I watch a lot of sports. I'm a big sports fan. And right now it's college basketball season. It's March Madness. That's all going on. And what I love to watch for teams is the guys at the end of the bench who don't ever play and how they interact with the starters and how the starters interact with them and the whole thing. Because if you have good, and we're just watching games, we don't see any practices, of course, and all that stuff that goes along with being on a team. But when you see that kind of great interaction between all members of the team, that team's good.
Right.
And if you have that discrepancy between the end of the bench people and the starters, that team's never going to reach its potential.
Right. And that's so fun to see that chemistry.
You can see it.
You can't instill chemistry, but you can provide the space for it to happen.
Correct.
And, and that's
a good coach will be able to do that. Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't have to be a team, like a sports team where, you know, they're all playing the same game.
Correct.
And these individual sports has the same sort of thing.
It does. Yeah.
I would say that, back when NMTC was 30 people getting together in a mud field, that was the feel, is you would just get together and do something fun.
Have some fun. Yeah.
You remember everyone who was there.
Right.
So
as a high school kid, were you just full force 800? This is my thing. I'm the captain now. I mean, how did...
Well, it went... 8th grade was 800. 9th grade was the mile. Mm-hmm. And I got good. So that was fun. Then 10th grade, I lived in England for a year because my dad taught in Birmingham. Cool. And that was a weird experience because that was the only time I went to quote state because I was decent compared to their runners, but not great compared to Minnesota runners. Huh. I also did the steeplechase when I was in 10th grade. And I have a picture. I don't think you're supposed to have both your hands over your head when you're going over the steeplechase hurdles, but I had my own way of doing things and I didn't fall. So there you go. and then when I came back, had a great team. You know, these are the things where, you know, Dan Couture, Paul Nicious, Eric Lawrenson, Rick Lyle, Steve Smith. You know, it's just like you get all these people that just have this idea, we're gonna be good. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you talk about being motivated by certain things, I think through my 20s I was motivated by failure. Mm-hmm. In that my senior year in cross country, we were ranked third in state.
Mm-hmm.
And we got third in regions.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? I got hit by a car. Nishi had a hip problem. I think Couture had some leg problem. And so we went in, and it was 56 for John Wadney and his team. You may have heard, you know, John Wadney. He's kind of good. And then it was Proctor at 58, and then we had 60. Wow. So we didn't even go, you know? And so that, I mean, you look back and then it's like, geez, you didn't even get to go to state even when you were that quote, that good.
Yeah.
And then in swimming, you know, I'm a really decent swimmer.
Yeah.
Decent is a good word. once again, 7AA was not a good place for swimmers. We weren't that good.
Yeah.
But that meant that I had a better chance. And, I got to the finals. I dropped 5 seconds in my 200 IM. And it was, you know, I lost out by a foot going to state.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at least there's the track season, right?
Yeah.
So track season. And I think track season, John Wadney and I were in a lot of meets together. And, John would go out, he would lead for three laps, and I would try to stay right behind him. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth lap, I would try to go as hard as I possibly could. I would pass him uh-huh. just so I could say that I was beating John Waddy. And then after like one lap, he would just take off
yeah.
and I would hold on. Mm-hmm. So I was second in so many meets that
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
And then comes regions and, did you know that Cambridge is in our region? I didn't yeah. have any idea at that point. And, you know, this is before the internet. So what happens is do the exact same thing. He's pulling away and I'm running and somebody came around me at 200 to go.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, I've been sprinting as hard as I can for you know, 7.5 laps. Yeah. I had nothing left. And
yeah.
I just remember after that race, just feeling like, wow, I just have failed.
Sure.
And not going to state actually, I think, really helped me just keep going. Hmm. Because so many people, they reach that pinnacle and then it's like, well,
yeah.
now what?
Yeah.
And for me, after that, I didn't try walking on at Minnesota. I think I was offered a scholarship at Canoe Community College up in Ely, but I went to Minnesota and mm-hmm. there it's just like I was mediocre, mm-hmm. but I just kept doing stuff. Yeah. And yeah. I think cool. that's, well, just, you know, Rod Raymond and I put together a triathlon team mm-hmm. and we wanted keys to the pool so that we could go swimming and get better. So we made up this little group and I think they paid us $60 for 8 weeks, 5 days a week. You know, so they were barely paying for this. And yeah. it was also that we could work out.
Yeah.
And great. The nice thing is that that's still going on today.
Yeah.
Where we get together three mornings a week in Duluth and yeah. go swimming somewhere mm-hmm. and then go running or biking afterwards. So
yeah.
those are the kind of things where I love that I created a community, you know, 40 years ago
yeah.
that I can now move back to and have it still sure. be here.
Sure.
So, cool. and it's all because I lost three races my senior year that made me very sad. So
it was the mindset just like, well, I lost these races, I'm bummed, but I can prove this to myself and everyone else, or was it a different motivation?
Well, it's also, what do you do when you're a kid?
Yeah.
You know, how do you make yourself happy? And if you, there's so many how many times have you thought, oh, I'm really glad I'm not going to high school today? You know?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Lots of times.
Exactly. I don't think I ever would have been a physicist had I grown up in these days, because I would not have had that wherewithal to just sit down and study. Hmm. And I think, you know, this ability to work very hard at something came mm. from high school sports. Mm-hmm. And so my outlet was still the sports part, but mm-hmm. I took what I gained in being dedicated to something and mm-hmm. put it towards mm-hmm. my schooling.
Sure.
But geez, isn't it fun to, you know, come back to Duluth and, you know, it's like I went for a walk in Chester this morning. Yeah. I just think of how many times did I yeah. run up around the bowl and go home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and how many times have I gone through Hartley and, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to be the old guy of, oh, things are different. But yeah, I don't know. Everyone who runs in Hartley these days, they're a little soft because it's too nice. You know,
it's all buffed and manicured
right,
and everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, they're not tough like we used to be. So
what was your motivation, I guess, into the 20s outside of college? I mean, that, you know, Tony and I interview a lot of collegiate athletes, and it seems to be like it's a common theme of just like, I don't know exactly what to do, but I just kind of took a direction and here I am. What was your direction or what was your excited yeah. you, motivated you?
So I think of
the community, obviously.
Yeah. Community. Yeah. And there's sort of eras in your running.
Yeah.
I mean, I even think of you, Mike, and it's like, there's certain spots that you're working on different parts of your athletics. And I think yeah. we all kind of can look back at that. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, my, you know, getting started was just figuring out what do you want to be. And then in my mm-hmm. 20s, it was, how good can I get? Mm-hmm. And then I had this decision, and Rod and I, I went to high school with him, and so I've known mm-hmm. him forever. Mm-hmm. And there was this point where we were trying to figure out, do you want to have the thing that you love so much be your job, or do you mm-hmm. want it to be your hobby?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we chose separately. Mm-hmm. I chose athletics to be my hobby, and I went to grad school to get a PhD in physics.
Yeah.
You can't do both really well with my talent, right? So I had to give up on being good at the expense of this other thing. And then with Rod, it was, he went all in on, you know, being the Iron Man and winning the gigathlon and doing all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But as we age around, you know, you kind of mess around, you never lose it. And so I was so happy to have athletics, because when I was in Milwaukee, I went to a build-up run. And they have these great build-up runs where every Saturday morning they would get together and they would just run progressively longer distances to get ready for the Lakefront Marathon.
Sure.
And I remember the 20-miler, it's Milwaukee, so they got a keg. We're in a park. This is, you know, years ago. And this guy was moving, so he had some moving blankets and a TV he could stick in his lighter. And it's a Sunday, and the Packers are on. And we had gotten done with our 20-miler. And so we ordered pizza to the parking lot. And that was the start of a friendship of, like, five of us that just, because we were there in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And that becomes your friend center.
Sure.
And I believe that running is that theme that allowed me to do that. And then when I moved to Eau Claire, it wasn't quite as strong, but when I saw the chance to put on my own runs exactly like that, I started that before I started the class, and now I have 75 people in my class and then another 60 community members show up, and they teach all the people who've never run a marathon or half marathon before how they can do it, and they also feed off the energy, because, you know, I don't know how old either of you are, but, you know, once you get a little older, you kind of get a little cranky and you get a little, like, cynical.
But
you can't be cynical when you got these kids going, I ran my furthest ever today. It was 7.23 miles.
Yeah. And that's just not that far.
But what happens, right? But you start to almost like, You run on their coattails a little bit.
I'm sure
with your coaching, you have that same idea.
Yeah. You get inspired by them. Just the attitude, the joy that they'll show from running 7.23 miles for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And so they're so excited. And you're like, oh, maybe I should go for a run today.
I think I need that. An accountability person who just says, hey, this is going to be really great.
Right.
You know, it's like what's the first thing that you ask one of your athletes after they're done with a race?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was it? How'd it feel?
How'd it go?
Right. Yeah. Do you ever say, oh, what was your time?
No. Yeah, never.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you let them dictate what they want that race to be for them.
Yeah.
And I think that comes on a weekly basis when people are trying something for the first time. And it's great because, you know, the mantra that came up yesterday during the run, because they were doing 8 or 16, was my race, my pace. You know, it's like, don't let people tell you how fast you have to go. If this is what your pace is and you're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And it was just like kind of this rallying cry for the people that were a little slower yesterday.
Yeah.
And nope, you're getting through it. How many miles did you do? You did the required amount for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a fun
that's
thing.
All you need.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
So
what was your question?
Yeah. My next question, I guess, is what about racing? You mentioned kind of, in your 20s, getting out of, high school, college, sports, feeling like you're good, but you have to take a path or direction. I mean, were you into racing?
Yeah.
And what types? What were you drawn to in the early days?
NMTC.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where NMTC taught me that I could be somebody. You know, I got a singlet, and it said Northern Minnesota Track Club on it, and that was really cool because those were the adults of the world.
Yeah,
and I have this vision of a photo of Ella Finnessy. Mm-hmm. And did you know, either of you know Ella?
No.
Yep.
She's slow as molasses.
Okay.
And what I loved was she would show up early and she would start the race, and you get to pass her during the race. You know, but she was out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was an experience of having just some fun people get together for a silly little race down in Eau Claire, which is where I live right now. Mm-hmm. They have the Chippewa Valley Trail Runners, mm-hmm. and they have different races.
Yeah.
And you get to kind of make up your own race. And so my favorite race that I put on, it's called the Twin Paradox Particle Accelerator Run or something like that. But it is a race where I have a 3-mile track, and you line everyone up before the race, fastest on one side, slowest on the other, and you just have them sort themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the fastest and slowest are the team one, mm-hmm. and you keep doing that, and you send them in opposite directions.
Yeah.
And when they see their partner, we used to have ping pong balls that they would have to, you know, trade off, because that was the electron or whatever it was. Geez. But it was great, because what happens is the fast people go further, the slow people go less, and everyone finishes within like 6 minutes of each other.
Uh-huh.
And so that after party of a small race, when everyone's just hanging around having a good time, it's everyone's there. You're not like, oh geez, you know, is Ella coming?
Right.
And that's why I like that she started early, because then she was there when we were still there. Those are the kind of, like, when I think about racing, those are the things I like now. If you go back, sure, I did a lot of mostly triathlons. I was much better at triathlons than running. Although I did break 40 minutes in the Hartley 10K, the original course with the go-kart track, if anyone remembers that.
Okay.
So,
sure.
But it was one of those things where when I did that, it was like, oh, I am definitely part of the inner circle in northern Minnesota running.
Nice.
39, 59
So, you know, I've done all sorts of, you know, little races, and you chase just having fun with friends.
Yeah.
And if you show up to a northern Minnesota race, you're going to know people.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I kind of like that I left for a while, because no one expects me to be good anymore. But when I come back, I can at least know some people that are that are doing the race. And that's always fun, because it's almost like they should have like a big sign, single runners here. I mean, not like it's a, you know, meetup or something, but it's more like, hey, do you have no one to talk to before the race? Hey, come talk to these people.
Right.
Because it's like, if you go to a race all by yourself and you never talk to anyone, then you go home and you never tell anyone what you did you really race?
When you're brand new in a situation, you think you're the only person who's brand new, because you don't know. But I guarantee you there's lots of others who are in the exact same boat. And you're right, it would be nice to... One thing that I do in my training group is, our first run of the year, I have all the brand new people raise their hands so that they can look around and see, oh, I'm not the only brand new person. And then we all applaud for all the brand new people, because of the bravery it takes to sign up for something like this, right? But yeah, always there's 4, 5, 8 hands that'll go up, and oh good, I'm not the only person who's nervous and doesn't quite know what's going on.
And it normalizes it.
Totally.
And if you asked who's nervous, a lot more would go up too.
Everyone. And then all the people who are more veterans with the group can support the new people too. And it gives them a sense of, well, they usually know who's new because they're veterans, but they were new too at one point, and so they can help encourage people. So
And that's the nice thing about running, is it's, you know, there's what, 9,000 people in the marathon, and there's, well, we'll say there's, you know, 4 or 5 different, you know, champions of the different
divisions.
And so the rest are losers, right?
Exactly.
But that's where you just like, no, the whole point is everyone gets to define what is success. And for me, getting to the finish line every year, I count my blessings. I'm struggling a lot this year. I got up to a 5-mile run during an 8-mile that I had to walk 3 miles in. You know, so that's my long run of the year. And you know, you see online, everyone's, oh well, like I went out and got my 15-miler in, and I was dialing it down to 720s, and it's just like, wow, is that's so counterproductive to what I need right now. I need to have I need to have a Facebook group that just says injured runners doing grandma's marathon.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think that's an interesting thing that happens maybe more often these days with social media and instant information that from other runners, is that sense of comparison that often pops up when you do see this person ran 10 miles at whatever pace, and that's a way faster pace than you, or it's way farther than you. how can we not let that comparison harm us, you know, mentally, emotionally?
Give them their own Facebook group.
There you go.
People who think more highly of themselves than of the other. But you're right. And that's where I try to be really encouraging for the people who are doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's just... And I think that's one reason why the group I have is so fun, because all of the old people know that I'm in charge, mm-hmm. and they know what is expected of them when they talk with my students.
Yeah, sure.
Which is they're out here doing something new. You help them get there.
Help them, yeah.
And I like that it's real. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we lose track of is, yeah, you can get online and there's always going to be other people, and you can find quote friends, but it's like I'd rather sit here and talk to you, Mike, than somebody online who's telling me certain things. Because this interaction that you have with people is so much better.
Yeah.
And I know in coaching, it's just like, you know, typing an email is so different than even a phone call.
Absolutely.
I think that's where, you know, finding the people who are going to support you is important. And I think that's where my job, in my community right now, is be that person that creates that space. And when you think about a group run, you know, how many times have you been to a group run where you have everyone's, oh yeah, let's get together and go, and then there's like one person who gets left behind, and then they never show up again.
How do you
kind of make sure that that stuff doesn't happen if you're the person in control? And so for me, that's what I look at is I don't need to be good anymore. I don't need to, you know, there's nothing I have to prove, but what I want is for other people to feel like they can do what they set out to do, and that it can be as fun for them as it was for me. Because, you know, so what if you're coming in, as I like to say, my wife did grandma's once, and well, we ran the same race. I got done. I went home, took a shower, took a nap. Then I went down to Superior Street and cheered her in. So, you know, it's one of those things where I made sure I was there.
Yeah.
But we were in very different places when we did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has the same story about, and then I came in and all the tents were blown over and, you know, where's my medal? And, you know, I want people like her to always feel like they've been taken care of, because they've done something that's incredible, and it might not be the same as, you know, winning the race or, you know, cracking the top 50.
Yeah.
But those are real people, and they have real goals, and if they can do that and they can feel good about it, then why don't we support it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, is Strava good? Is there any benefit to it? What are the benefits?
Well, my walk this morning was not on Strava, so it didn't happen. But I think that is one of those things where if you get the right group, that is so fun to be part of that group and know everyone in the group. And it's like we have the running store down there. It's owned by the guy who run the marathon.
Yeah.
Blue Ox Running. They have a run every week, every Tuesday, without fail, from the store, and fast or slow, let's go. And so what's happening is they force it to be that community effort, and slow people, fast people, doesn't matter. We have walkers that show up to go for a run, and I'm using air quotes, it doesn't matter. And they're part of the entire experience. And then they have abs afterwards. And then, you know, the young kids, those in their, you know, 20s and 30s go off to the bar afterwards. And, you know, so, but it brings people together. And there's people who come into town. It's like, there's somebody who works in town and they're only in town every fourth Thursday.
Yeah.
They have a place to come and they feel like they are part of that group.
Part of the group, yeah.
And, you know, those are the things that I think in society are so helpful, because it brings us together. And you can actually have a run with somebody, run right next to them, and talk politics a long time when you're running and it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Because when you're not staring at somebody, sometimes it's easier not, you know, it, things you can actually think a little bit more clearly.
Yeah.
And so maybe we should have that as one of our podcasts. Well, it would be tough with the, you know, the quality of the sound, but it's like talking politics while running. Yeah. but that's one of those things where when you have a common bond with what you're doing, oftentimes it helps bring people together in very different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And can that be emulated with a digital format like Strava, or is that just negative?
Well, I'm very old. So remember back in when we had slide rules in high school? So I think that we're losing sight of the fact that personal experience and personal interactions are magnified when you're next to that person or together with them. And I think that once you've broken bread with somebody and, you know, and I use that in the sense of once you've struggled through a race or you've done a run and you talk to them, then you can move that to the digital and it's more authentic. And so a running club Strava account is going to be great because they all know each other.
Right.
But if it's just one, you know, one person posting, "Oh, I ran around my little lake," you know, if they feel like they're not getting the support, it can actually go in the wrong direction.
So I'm
on both sides. I try to use it. I try to be the person I want. I want to be.
Right.
I'm never going to go, "Hey, don't be so X," you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting.
Or I just turn it off and I go for a run. Maybe that should be my motivation. Get on there and see all the nasty comments about, you know, "Oh, you're not a real runner because you're not going under 12-minute miles," and, weeping in my bedroom.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen very often on any platform.
But, anymore, right?
Yeah. So you don't live in Duluth anymore, but you come back frequently. You're here now, for instance.
I actually am going to be moving back soon. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, it is one of those things where I haven't lived with my wife for 8 years. So we're going to try to see how that works.
That's nice.
And I'm moving back into my childhood home where I still have second grade artwork on the wall.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Pretty special.
So when you do come back to Duluth and say you're itching to get out for a run, where are some of your spots that you just like have to go? Some of your favorites.
Well, isn't that you ask this question of all your guests and it's just like all of it. For me, it's I walk out my door and I run, you know, 5 blocks and I'm on I'm at Chester.
Yeah.
And I run up Chester, I run around the ridge, I run home. I go to Hartley and I, you know, go to the top of Baldy and I, you know, spin around in a circle on a pirouette and go, "I am so blessed to be in this this beautiful place that people really care about being outdoors."
Yeah.
And so those are kind of my go-tos, but you know, if somebody invites me to go somewhere else, I'll go wherever on the trails. You know, road running is good for old people because you don't fall down as much. And during COVID, I did most of my road running on Superior Street. You know, that's such a nice rolling section where not that many cars. And it's just like, I love it.
Are you talking about like past Brighton?
Don't tell anyone. But that's
in the area.
That's a great area.
The secret area. Yeah. But it's so nice to be off the 61 where it's so busy. But you kind of feel like at least you're out in the middle of nowhere.
You're often out of the wind too.
Right.
Sometimes the wind's coming off the lake.
Yeah, but you really should just go run in the wind so that if it's windy on race day, then you don't, you know,
need a little bit of it.
Yeah. A little bit goes a long way. Is that it?
So, I mean, running, and you kind of alluded how Hartley has changed, right? And like these new age runners running in Hartley, they're soft now. Well, they're okay, soft. Maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but how have you felt about the trail system, I guess, growing or progressing, changing over the years?
I don't want to be sound like the, you know, old cynical person, and I want to make sure that as I age, I can change myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of those things where somebody cares a lot more than I do about it. So as long as they don't take it away from me, I'm fine.
Yeah.
The only sort of bug I have is something that happens when a group comes in and says, oh, we're going to make this really good, but you can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens every so often where they say, oh, we're not going to touch the trails you're on. But then all of a sudden there's like, oh, no, we're closing it off because of the spring thaw, even though it used to be the dog place where everyone would go with their dogs every day.
Yeah.
Oh, now, your dogs can only go outside half the days now.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, we always have to put ourselves in other people's shoes and understand, you know, the people who want access every day versus the people who want to make it better.
Sure,
and
sure.
Both of those are great ideas.
Yeah.
We have to work through all of those differences so that all of these entities that are all using these trails feel like they want to protect them.
Right.
Because I think that's one of those one of those things that, you know, even with the Hawks Ridge proposal that's coming in right now, don't want to be political here, but the first thing I thought of was, as I come down 21st Avenue East, what do you see? You see those big, huge, tall buildings that were done right on the lake.
Yeah.
They allow, well, go back and figure this all out.
Yeah.
They took something away from Duluthians by allowing that particular thing to be built.
Sure.
So if you're taking away from, you know, thousands of people something that is valued,
which in this case is the view,
this would be the view, because you know, that's, you know, we're a gritty town. Duluth is I like that. And but it doesn't mean that we can't all hold beauty in our in our sights and say that that's important to protect.
Yeah,
it's sort of like, you know, do we want to make sure that Park Point is still there in, you know, 100 years? Do we want, and if we have good stewards, so this gets to the question of, you know, what do I think?
Yeah.
I think that if we have good stewards who are thinking carefully about how do we maintain stuff that is valued by the entire community? Sort of like SHT. Oh my God, what a great thing that we have here.
Yeah.
It's not everyone's cup of tea though, because it's a tough trail.
Yeah.
Do we wanna bulldoze that, or do we want to instead make a different trail that's high access and leave the SHT by itself? Because those are the kind of things where can we have those kind of conversations to bring different pieces so that we can all kind of have what we need to get outside and to feel better.
Interesting.
That's although, you know, SHT, I have a, you know, bum ankle right now, so every time I say the word, I think it throbs a little bit.
Right.
Oh, let's go down this piece of shale.
Right. My running joke is, it's rockier and rootier than I remember.
Right, exactly.
Every time I'm on, it's rockier and rootier than I remember it.
And as you get older, that is true.
Yeah, maybe it's the age.
So I think that's one of those things where we have so many great people that are passionate about what they're doing. They need to all take one step back and then, you know, this is the whole idea of how do we come to consensus on things rather than just winning. Because winning, as you know from what I've been saying the whole time, winning isn't everything, or to me, much. I mean, it's fun to win.
Yeah.
And but it's much more about how do we get everyone into this, and if they feel like they have access to a nice little trail, that's okay. I'm going to get out and I'm going to walk on that trail and be out in beauty and nature. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
Sort of like if we go back to the Munger Trail, you know, how many fights were there to get that in? And then all of a sudden we think, oh my God, that is one of the greatest things ever, right?
Yeah, so nice. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, Brighton Beach, same thing. We're redoing Brighton Beach. And, you know, there's always this, well, I remember back when, versus, oh my God, this is so nice that we can run through there now that we're going to have a trail away from the road.
A dedicated trail,
Right. Yeah. So those are, maybe I'm the optimist who tries to look for the good things in life or to to make it so that I'm happy at the end of the day instead of
salty.
Salty. Yeah, yeah, get on Facebook and, you know, rant. Hey, your run wasn't on Strava. It didn't happen. You know? Although I am on Strava, so don't look me up.
Everyone will drop Matt's handle in the show notes. Just kidding. Surprise.
Oh, I never say yes to people I don't know.
Do you have any favorite races or race memories from over the years? Any that stick out to you as like exceptionally fun, special, meaningful?
I have stories for so many races, and you know, this is 40 years, right, since high school, and you know, it's like I've done the Timberman every year since 84. I've done the Brewhouse every year since 87. And there's that marathon here in town. What's the name?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll drop Grandma's, that in the show notes too. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
So, and third best runner. My two brothers have done it more than I have, and I've done it every year since I graduated from high school. So it's, you know, there's a little pressure there to finish. There's so many great memories.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, you're walking along. How many good walks have I had along London Road? You know, it's like no shame in walking running club. Yeah. You know, so I'm the charter member. But, you know, it's just like I like to do those. And I did one last year, which I thought, wow, why don't more people do the Popple Chase?
I've heard good things about that.
Yeah. You know, here it is. Everyone doing Grandma's, you want a nice soft surface, you know, run to do, just, you know, pop on down to Minong. And it's just the 25K was glorious.
Yeah.
It was just really nice. And, you know, of course you're not going to get much. They had a, you know, it's like the first aid station is here's a water jug, bring your own water. That's, you know, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Know what you're getting. Right. So, yeah, so you know, I like that kind of thing. I did. There was one called the Setney Mai, which was.
Oh yeah, I've done that.
There's both the Grantsburg one, which I did once, and then I did the one down in Madison.
Yeah, Stoughton to Madison, or Madison to Stoughton.
Yeah, it was great.
And, what is that? What is
20 miles?
Okay,
20 miler
and hilly. Hilly. Oh
yeah. Is two of the same race in different areas?
Setney Mai is the Norwegian Independence Day.
Oh sure.
And so
sure.
You know, it's kind of like having a July 4th race, but so
or St. Patty's Day for that matter.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
Which, you know, it's one of those things where I think that race fell out of favor because it was hard and it was a road race. And that's just too hard. And it's like, you know, put a big goal out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it was, I've done it 25 times. And I always thought this is the race to do before Grandma's because it beat me up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had maybe 5 or 6 weeks before. So I was able to at least recover from it. So that was, you know, it's just like, it's a great race. They also had the trail run.
Yeah.
That used to be in Bloomington. And when it was in Bloomington, it was like, I could wake up in the morning and get there in time.
Yeah.
And now it's on the west side of the cities, but that was always a mud fest.
Oh, sure.
And it was just like, oh, that is so much fun. You'd look forward to running down the ski hill.
Yeah.
And as I got older, I started to zigzag down the ski hill because, you know, you're not supposed to go straight down.
Bombing it straight down.
Yeah. or they should have just brought the rolling cheese to chase down.
There you go. Right? Yeah. So, right.
But, you know, it's I like to just whatever happens or turns up or, you know, some small little race that somebody's trying to put on. There was an EMS run in Mondovi, which is a small little town outside of Eau Claire. And every year I went, I was trying to beat Phyllis. And Phyllis was, she was a retired librarian and she would do the 2 mile. Mm-hmm. And she had an analog clock in her stroller or wheeler.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she would have her time off of that. And I would do the 5 mile. And that was my goal was to catch her before she got done with hers. Nice. Yes.
And so did you win?
Yeah. The year that I didn't, I stopped doing the race because I was so embarrassed. But you know, it's like, that is the, she was a local hero, you know, because she had worked in the schools and it was just fun to be part of something like that. Yeah, exactly. And the stories are what makes things interesting.
Right.
I think back, you know, there's a lot of people who write everything down that they've done. Mm-hmm. And I used to keep track of every yard I swam and every mile I biked and all that. And then I realized I'd rather curate stories or try to remember those things.
Yeah.
Like one of my best rides ever, my friend snapped his chain here near Minneapolis, and we're going up and down the river. Uh-huh. And so all the way from the Ford Bridge back to the university, he's holding on to my shirt.
Oh, geez.
And it was like, you know, that's what I remember.
Yeah.
And those are the fun things that you do by just getting with people who are like-minded and going out for a run or a ride or...
What was your average watt output during that run?
Well, my watt meter was not working there, but my shirt I kept for a long time and never wore again because it was so misshapen. And every time I'd throw it on, he was my roommate, so I'd throw it on. Well, this one doesn't quite fit, you know. And so, but those are
story, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, is it on Strava? No. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I have played with everything. I have a watt, you know, something that measures my watts for running. And I did some studies on that with students about, does that change if you change running gates and things like that? Mm. So, 'cause you know, we do research at the university and I like to do anything that looks interesting that a student wants to do.
Sure.
And so, I play with this stuff, but I don't want to have to care about that because I feel it gets in the way of enjoyment.
Right.
And some people enjoy looking at that stuff and that's like, that's great.
Yeah.
But not for me right now.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe when I retire, I will, figure out how to spend a little bit more time getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
Maybe find a coach. Know any coaches?
I do.
I'm curious, Matt, what do you think it is about you that, I guess, drives you or draws you to doing not just one race, but like several races every year for going on 40 years in a row?
I am boring. You know, tenacious or lack of imagination, you know, so you can tag me any way you want, but
you just get the email from the list and oh, hey, here we go.
Yeah. Well, and that I think, grandma's is, well, they're all special. You know, the triathlon, when you're like 21 and you start a triathlon, you don't have to worry about liability at all, do you? It's just like, wow, this is great. You know, insurance, we need insurance. You know, and now it's like, you know, so things have changed. But that's a great race because there's so many times that we get people that just are so happy to be there. And I, you know, having you there, Mike, it's like,
I'm one of them.
Exactly. We're looking at his champion mugs right now. He's just drinking coffee out of them, like, you know, nondescript. This old thing. But the idea is that we get some of the best athletes in Duluth. In fact, you know, Mike's been there. We had a guy named Brian Bish who won nationals in USAT triathlons, and he would just show up, you know, to our little race. And it was great because what I feel like Duluth does well is we don't put labels on everybody for where they have to be within that, that structure.
Yeah.
They're all participants. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's one of the big things that, Rod and I try to do with the Brewhouse and the Buzz Ryan triathlons is just, if you're there, you're ours. Mm-hmm. You're an athlete. We want to make sure you have your best experience. Yeah. And I like being part of that. The Timberman was always one of my favorites because the first year I got a flat tire and I still got second.
Okay.
I changed my tire in the middle. Wow. Just like, right. So there's your story, right? And then redemption for years afterwards. I can win. You know, I don't know. So, but that's where, you know, why do you do anything?
Yeah.
And as I get older, the existential question is, well, why do you do X? And I think grandma's is, it's really special to me because, I get to do that with my brothers and they come home. One of my brothers is, he's really good. He's 60 and still breaking 3 hours. And, you know, it's one of those, he's really good, but he's still running the same thing we are. And he comes home for it every year.
Yeah.
And you know, part of the reason that I joke with my wife, part of the reason we bought the house was so that we could still have the spaghetti dinner there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you mean like your childhood home?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, I was born into this home, and my parents lived there until about 6 years ago. They moved out, and Shelly moved in. But it was partly because that is our home base for grandmas.
Yeah.
We have the same traditions, you know. Yeah. It's like the spaghetti on Friday night.
Right.
And then on Saturday, RIP VIP, but we used to always get VIP pizza, you know, and it's just it was right there, and it was our favorite. And so we're kind of at a quandary of what we're gonna do this year. I know.
Yeah. Take out from Superior.
Yeah, we might have to, because you know, traditions are traditions.
Yeah.
And you really do have to fight for to keep those.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just having something that you look forward to. Hmm. And as I tell my students at the end of the class, I don't think you should think that this has to be your annual tradition of coming back to Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Go find your parents, go find your family, find a July 4th race that's going to be there every year, and go do that.
Yeah.
Because that is the tradition that kind of brings people together to do something.
Right,
And so, I did the Chautauqua Fishy Four once last year, and I think that's going to be my July 4th race for a while.
Okay. Nice.
Before it used to be Tofty 10K. And so, but you know, you get to do something fun, and if it was fun, do it again.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, do something else.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Fun.
So I have one more question for myself. Speaking of traditions and grandmas, tell us about the Prefontaine thing.
Well, we can grow mustaches.
It started there.
I think that's it.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things where I don't even quite know how it started.
Tell the listeners who might not know.
So Steve Fontaine was this Oregon runner from back in the 70s, and so
iconic mustache.
Oh my God. It's just like he was the 70s. It was sexy and everything, and my brothers and I just thought, well, why don't we do that? And so we, so we got singlets, the old silky ones at first, and it was, beautiful. And so every year I would grow my full beard in the night before. And this is, talk about traditions. It's like, well, I'm going up to shave.
And it's like getting game face on.
Right, exactly. And one year, my brother Jim, he thought, well, I guess, we've been going as Prefontaine for a few years. I'm going to go as Ben Blankenship. Because he kind of looked like Ben Blankenship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got a jersey that had Minnesota on it, and it said Ben Blankenship.
Oh, gosh.
It's just like,
who is this guy?
Exactly. So not only does no one know who Ben Blankenship is, my brother is impersonating somebody that nobody knows.
A little obscure.
Right.
A little obscure.
But as he said, if I could just make one person smile.
Oh,
you know,
gosh. Yeah.
And, so back to the Prefontaine thing, I got tired of listening to people say, go Ducks. So I got rid of the Oregon shirt, and now it's just a big head of Prefontaine.
Oh, funny.
You know, and it's why do anything, right?
Yeah.
And it makes me laugh. It's it's fun. People, I think one of the big reasons was we wanted my mom to be able to pick us out.
Okay.
My mom has been our biggest supporter over the years. She had cancer. She's had cancer twice, and yet every year she's still out there coming to watch us. And first time she had cancer in her spine, and it's one of those things where what's gonna happen. And luckily she was in England, and she was actually in the operating room I think 4 days later. And it was great. And then she had another bout 10 years ago, but it's one of those things where she's still out there every year.
Nice.
And my wife now, instead of, I kind of told her, this is our weekend, so you can do it if you want, but could you drive my mom around?
Yeah.
And it's worked out great, because my mom, it's just like a lot harder for her to get around. She's upper 80s, so but it's nice, because that's our tradition is, you know, my mom's down there, she'll cheer us in. So she doesn't like waiting for me anymore, but that's okay.
So, she's seen you finish before.
Right, yeah, 40 times. You know, she's been there almost every year.
Yeah, awesome.
The 1 year of the cancer, she was not. But you know, but that is a tradition. You know, we're lucky to be able to count on a race still being there.
Right.
And it's like, you know, what's your favorite race that no longer happens?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Yeah. Oh, do you put me on the spot? And yet, so Tony, what's your favorite race that,
well, you know what? It kind of happens now because it's called the Living History Farms race. It's down in Des Moines weekend before Thanksgiving typically. And it's an incredible, true cross-country race, like what you see in England, and you go through a creek like seven times and climb up these muddy embankments. It's like an MTC race on steroids. Back in the day, there was 7,000 people in this thing, and it's a seven-mile race, so it's packed, crowded. You're not going to PR there, but you don't care. And then it went away for just a little bit, and then a different group brought it back, but it's no longer the same. So I'm saying it's a race that doesn't no longer exist, but it's a great race.
Right. And those are, you know, we have to evolve through a lot of different things and allow new things to happen and old things to, you know, sort of, and I always think of that. If you care enough to actually do it yourself, then go do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You want a race to keep going on?
Yeah.
Go do it.
Mm-hmm. Step up.
Yeah. And, you know, I've stepped up enough and I really appreciate that the things that I've been able to curate through.
Yeah.
And that's where we all want great things. And I'm so thankful that when the tents blew down that, grandma's survived and that is a pivotal year for Duluth that, they rallied around and they became a 503C and, you know, that's a big thing. You know, I don't know how many people count their blessings that we still have a world-class race that, you know, you can just walk out with your coffee and you're sitting there on Lennon Road. Oh, there's some of the best people in the world going by.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, wow, that's pretty special for us.
18,000 others.
Right, yeah. All losers.
Except the four.
Except for, right? Yeah. Well, if we take both races, and then there's like 12.
Yeah. 12.
Yeah, they're like the wheelchair racers. You know, if you want to see something where you just bug your eyes out, holy camoly, I would not want to be one of the half marathoners that gets passed by them. Because, you know,
a little scary.
Yeah, a little scary, but so, you know, you watch that athleticism and I don't know if you have these weird sort of pangs of, oh my God, what would happen if?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those things where I thought, well, what if I lost the use of my legs? What would happen?
Yeah.
And I would think I'd be the last place wheelchair person. You know, it's a weird thing where grandma's is important to me.
Right. Right.
Or as I said to somebody, if it's as hot as it was a few years ago, I'll just swim the damn thing. You know, just get in and just head to the bridge.
Yeah.
So, you could do that, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
26 miles, that would take about 13 hours. So, yeah.
Long day.
I don't think they'd be hanging a medal around me for that one. You missed your split.
Yeah. And all the ones, yeah.
Yeah. So, is there an Uber service in Duluth that we can use to Rosie Ruiz, just asking for a friend?
Yeah.
We'll see how this year goes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Your training's going to go fine. Yeah. You'll be just fine.
And that's the belief is wherever you are on race day, that's where you are, and you make it happen.
Yeah.
Yep. And no joking aside, that is one of those things that I've had to believe in. Yeah. And I ran 3/4 of a mile 1 year, and I looked at my brother and I said, I'll see you at the end.
Yeah.
Mm. And me saying that was, I'm convincing myself I'm going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But it's going to be a long day. I ran, walked the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
guess what? I got a medal.
Yep.
Finished.
Yeah. I got a shirt. It was great.
That's a good segue to my last question. And that's, Matt, what is next for Matt Evans with running?
I hope to be running in 10 years. And that, you know, when you say what's next is a long slog of great runs with friends in the Duluth area. Obviously, I'm going to do Grandma's again.
Yeah.
Can't stop doing that.
Yeah.
Probably do the Popple Chase if I can actually make it that far. You know, we have to be a little careful about training. But what's next in running? Probably do those two triathlons, do Grandma's.
Yep.
Just try to keep moving. Mm-hmm. And that's... I remember when I was, you know, 20, there were these two really old people. They were 50. 50. Yeah. Gene Olay and Roger Hartley. Uh-huh. And they showed me what it was like to age gracefully in athletics, which was getting out there, having a good time.
Yeah.
And don't worry about what others think.
Sure.
And I think of them and... I am hopeful that my ability matches theirs in continuing to just move forward and to be healthy enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to be, I don't have to have an 88% age group ranking in my, you know, whatever it is.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's partly my brother because he's really good. He goes, as long as I keep that rating, then I'm okay.
Yeah, so,
but that next up is, you know, hope to see people on the trails. Yeah. I hope to get out and, you know, utilize all the beauty that there is in northern Minnesota.
Yes.
As gritty as it is.
When are you moving back?
This summer.
Cool.
So...
fun.
Yeah. So looking forward to that.
Really exciting.
Yeah. Well, Matt, we'll see you out on the trails in Hartley and Chester this summer.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Okay. And that wraps up episode number 70 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Want to thank our guest, Matt Evans, for joining us today. It was really great to talk to him. He's all decked out in his Austin Jaro hat and his EC Marathon shirt. He is ready for the part. Awesome to talk to Matt, a guy that I had never met before, but I had heard so many stories about, and everybody has good things to say about that. So
yeah, I just really loved his kind of message of like running. So much of it is about community, and it pumps me up to try to enhance my, you know, role as a runner in the community too. So hopefully everyone else feels the same.
Absolutely.